So, okay, you talk about using other people's money, but do you still do the IRA stuff?
Absolutely.
Can you explain that to everybody?
Well, you know, I self-directed my retirement plan. It's a non-taxable event to roll over your retirement plan into a self-directed retirement plan where you get to say how you invest the money. And I've taught a lot of people how to do that. I actually go to a website called taxfreefuture.com, and you can watch the little 37 video vignettes there if you give up a small amount of information. It's very valuable. But I started all my IRAs with just a little bit of money, and I turned it into a lot of money. And there are certain strategies you can use when you are the person that can direct your retirement plan. And we talk about those strategies and how you take $300 or $400 and turn it into $1 million in a reasonable period of time. Just go to taxfreefuture.com. That's a company that will help you roll over your retirement funds into self-directed retirement funds with checkbook control.
Well, and think about right now with the new presidency and what's going on with taxes fixing to go up. How important is that more than ever?
Yeah, it's a good time. If you don't know how to postpone or defer your taxes, it's a good time to sell, because you could wash your money at what's probably going to be a lower rate than you'll see in a long time, tax rate. But it's even smarter to defer these taxes until your death. You know what they say about taxes, right? Property taxes, income taxes, defer, die. Great job.
No, that's 100% true. One thing that I'm a director for NAR, National Association. One thing we're fighting on is, you know, there's been some opposition trying to do away with 1031s, which we're opposing that and fighting it very, very hard.
Well, that's good, because the NARA is a powerful organization, and it takes someone with that kind of clout to get these things noticed, you know?
Well, and I know they're trying to change stuff. I know they just passed a deal where I can only do so many FHA or Fannie Mae loans for rent properties. And what I don't get, I don't understand why they're pushing that. Like that little house I bought on Van Zandt, I hired a roofer, I hired a carpet guy, I hired a cabinet guy, I hired a granite guy, I hired a painter. All these people, you know, about $65,000 worth of remodel, all those people made money. But if they stop where I can't buy another house, those people don't get paid either. That doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, it kind of seems like they want to stop an economy, huh?
It's 100%. It makes zero sense to me. Welcome back to Real Estate and You. I've got Mitch Steven with me, and it's the investor extraordinaire. How's that sound, Mitch?
Sounds like a pretty good title. I don't know if I deserve it or not, but I have been working at it for a few years.
Hey,
I'd like to tell everybody I graduated from the Calle U. How's your Spanish, Scott?
Muy poco. Está bueno, though.
La calle means the street, so I learned everything out in the street by getting my teeth kicked in.
Well, you've always been a hard worker. With COVID, how did that affect your strategies, or what was going on?
Well, in the beginning, we didn't know what was going to happen. So we braced ourselves. We got right on top of our accounts. We were going to, you know, watching to make sure how many people were late or behind. It turns out the seller financing strategy is super durable and super dependable. When you seller finance a house to a person, you know, when we seller finance a house to a person, they have to have at least 10% down. We're averaging about 13%. We shoot for 15% down, plus closing costs. So these people are vested when they move in. It's their home. While they're there, they've added carports and converted garages and concreted driveways and put in sprinkler systems and put up gates and fences and put in landscaping. So they're really, really vested emotionally and financially. And what we learned during COVID and what we learned during the recession is they don't walk easy. They fight like hell for their house. So we have about a 1.5% foreclosure rate. All through COVID, it didn't change from our regular foreclosure rate. It stayed about the same. And that's the difference in being a landlord and having a renter, or being the seller financier or the bank and having a mortgage payer. Well, especially if you've taken time to qualify that mortgage payer and make sure that they have the means to make the payment.
Well, and Mitch, what you just said, and I'm with you 100%. I like to get 20% down. But folks, I'm telling you, if you're an investor, people need to have skin in the game. If they don't have any skin in the game, it does not work.
No, it doesn't. And you know, I'm averaging, before COVID, I was averaging 9 days on the market.
Right now today,
I'm averaging 4 days on the market, and I don't even put signs up at my houses. Zero signs.
Damn, that's really good. But hey, tell me, how do you find your houses?
Well, I go where the chaos is.
Where's the chaos?
The chaos is wherever there's change. Change is usually caused by death, transfer, health, divorce, any one of life's events that you wouldn't wish upon anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, floods, fires, murder, you know, would you name it, whenever these things happen, they cause chaos. And usually there's a lot of real estate associated with any kind of chaos. So I don't cause these problems. They just happen. And somebody is going to be the purchaser or the person who acquires these properties that are caught in these situations. So I'm an expert at locating these situations and figuring out where the real estate is in the midst of these situations.
Well, I'm going to give you my prediction. You're going to see some chaos. When the government said that you could basically not make your house payments for a while and not get kicked out of your house or get foreclosed on, the renters couldn't pay rent for a while and not get kicked out, they didn't say they forgave those payments. They said you could put them off. Well, it's going to come to a head, and all those payments are going to be due. I see that as a real negative, because I see people getting foreclosed on because they can't make a huge payment because they didn't make their monthly payments.
Okay, so let me tell you this. I collect anywhere between 300 and 400 mortgage payments a month. They had all that time that we couldn't do evictions or foreclosures. I was basically concerned about the foreclosures because I seller finance my houses to people who live in them and make mortgage payments to me. So we had 27 people fall behind. As soon as the courthouse opened up, which was last Tuesday or, you know, about 2 weeks ago, we were able to start scheduling foreclosure dates. I now, out of 27 people, I now only have 4 people that haven't paid up. I collected $140,000 in back payments and late fees since the beginning of the month when they opened up the court system. That's the reality of how bad people will fight for their house. I had 27 people in foreclosure because they knew they had, I had no recourse at the moment because the courthouses were closed due to COVID. As soon as the courthouses opened up, I let it be known that I was coming for the house or my money. 4 people now are behind with me.
That's amazing.